Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Thursday, August 1st. This is The Rant. I'm Jeff. And today on the podcast, we're going to talk about the New York Giants, New York Jets. Break those guys down for fantasy football purposes. Almost done the team preview series. Of course, after that, we're going to really dive into the nitty gritty. I'll get to some emails, some voicemails as well later in the show. No crappy Borat impersonations. I think that was a Borat. I don't know. But none of those today. And you know, either way, I appreciate you guys reaching out via email, via voicemail, and some dude actually even texts the voicemail line. I didn't know you could do that, but he did. So I didn't know you could do it. He did it. So we'll read that too. Also, I saw a few people actually take me up on that offer. If you're trying to get a draft board, your draft is coming up. I use FJFantasy.com. And this isn't just me saying it to say it. Isn't me saying it because I have a promo code. I do have a promo code. It's Ratcliffe, R-A-T-C-L-I-F-F-E. My last name will get you 10% off. But I've been using them for a very, very long time. I think it's around about 15 years. I love the product. Never had any complaints from anybody in my leagues. And they even have like a jumbo size. So I'm the commissioner of one league and I got just the regular size that I always get for that league. But the commissioner of another home league that I'm in was like, yeah, we're in the market for a draft board. I was like, well, I got this guy. You know, I got a guy. So go check this out. And he's like, jumbo has my interest. And I was like, it's humongous. It like stands by itself, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, sold. So we're going to have that at one of my home league drafts. Either way, check it out. FJFantasy.com. If you are doing like a home league draft, you need a draft board. Their stuff is top notch, top notch. And Ratcliffe for 10% off. All right, I'm going to dive in here. No more promo crap. Let's talk about the Giants. So the team is going to look a little bit different this year because Saquon Barkley is out of the mix. Obviously, he's in Philly. And good news, we aren't going to have to wait long to talk about him. We will be talking about the Philadelphia Eagles on the podcast tomorrow. And by the way, if you haven't checked out that season of Hard Knocks, man, oh, so good. Hard Knocks, I know it's like not everybody's flavor anymore. It used to be like, you know, obviously like required watching, but you know, the preseason one, it's all right. The in-season one hasn't really hit for a lot of people, but yo, this off-season version is so stinking good. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It might be the only time they do it because they're giving away so much behind the scenes. It's awesome. So anyway, Saquon is out. We'll talk about the backfield in a moment, but there were some moving pieces at quarterback and that show really revealed the Giants were definitely not all in on Daniel Jones, and you can't blame him. You know, he's been banged up over the course of his career, and when he has been healthy, he's been lackluster. Now, I will say this. He's a fantastic running quarterback. Like, he's excellent. He really is shockingly good as a running quarterback. But as a passing quarterback, he's been at the bottom of the barrel in terms of NFL starters over the course of his NFL career here. So you can't really blame them. They were looking to try and potentially get up and get Drake May. That didn't happen. They did bring in Drew Lock, but Daniel Jones is the starter. Let's be abundantly clear there. And there's one thing that Daniel Jones does not do, which is a really important aspect of quarterback play for me. He doesn't throw the ball to the end zone. In 2022, in 16 games, he threw the ball to the end zone 11 times. All right. Last year, 6 games played. 2 end zone throws. And it's fair to argue the surrounding wide receiver talent wasn't great, but still this dude's not taking any shots whatsoever. And that is not a trait that we tend to see like reverse. You know, either these guys have eyes for the end zone or they don't. And Jones has not. Now, fortunately for Daniel Jones' sake, Malik Nabers doesn't necessarily need an end zone target to score a touchdown. He is, in a lot of ways, very similar to fellow LSU alum Jamar Chase. He's also very similar to DJ Moore. You know, he's a little undersized. He's not tiny by any stretch. A little undersized, but insanely explosive after catch. Like, insanely explosive. A lot of people thought it was clear-cut that Marvin Harrison Jr. was the top wide receiver in this year's class. I don't think everybody out there in the football cognoscenti felt the same way. Like it felt like in fantasy, oh, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. and then everybody else. We saw in Hard Knocks, for example, one of the coaches was asked, all right, you know, after having sat down with the big 3 receivers this year, Harrison, Nabers, and Adunze, who would you choose? And he said Neighbors, which is fascinating. Now, Daniel Jones isn't going to be fantasy relevant outside of being a third quarterback in Superflex, but can he do enough for Neighbors? Oh, hell yeah. I have no concerns here about Malik Neighbors. Yes, he's a rookie, and I don't think necessarily he can match the productivity, at least out of the gate, of Marvin Harrison Jr., but he could very well be a top 20 option. Now, I'm conservative when it comes to rankings at this time of year, and I have him just on the outside of the wide receiver twos looking in. But, you know, if you said, no, I view him as a top 20 guy right now, I'm not going to talk you out of it, you know? And I'm honestly, I will never talk you out of any ranking that you want. As long as you're committed to it, you did your research, you put him there for a reason. It's not just because you think, feel, or believe something. Then go for it, man. Like, absolutely. It's your draft. It's your squad. It's your team. It's your draft board. Do what you got to do. I'm not quite there, but I do have him at wide receiver 25. And I love, love, love the ceiling that Malik Neighbors offers, even with Daniel Jones at quarterback. Part of it is because there really isn't anybody else. Darren Waller retired. There isn't a tight end who's going to step in and suck up any of a Darren Waller role. Daniel Bellinger is not that type of tight end. And yes, they brought in a rookie. This year's rookie class compared to last year's, I know we're kind of spoiled by these rookie class. Well, last year's rookie class might be one of the greatest that we've ever seen, but this year's rookie class isn't up to snuff. And it would be really surprising if Theo Johnson was anything more than, like, you know, a DFS option. When I say that, I'm simply meaning like he'll service like once or twice. You know, sure. Is there a Theo Johnson week where he has like two touchdowns on three catches for 32 yards? Sure, maybe I could see it happening, but I don't see him as a consistent fantasy option. And a lot of it also just goes straight back to Daniel Jones. But otherwise, wide receiver-wise, look at this thing. You have Wandale Robinson, Jalin Hyatt, Darius Slayton kind of duking it out for who's going to be the number two target. And I don't know if any of them will ultimately be. Maybe Slayton, he's the veteran. He has the experience with Daniel Jones, extensive experience at this point. But he's more of a downfield guy. Like last year, 79 targets in 17 games. Now, granted, most of that wasn't with Daniel Jones. I'm not worried about that part right now. Just looking at what he does in a full-time role. Like, good numbers, 50 for 769 and four touchdowns, but really doesn't move the needle. In theory, Jalin Hyatt's role should expand, but look at what he did last year. He saw 20 air yards per target. Now, only 40 targets, but still 18 of his 40 targets were at least 20 air yards. Like, that's not a sustainable profile. And then Wandale is like the opposite. His air yards were 5.2. Like, he is the polar opposite of Jalin Hyatt. And really, there isn't that much appeal there either. So, I mean, for me, it's Neighbors or bust in terms of the receivers. Now, they did sign Devin Singletary. He's not going to replace Saquon Barkley. You can't replace Saquon Barkley. He's a one of one, right? But they did also draft Tyrone Tracy. And I mean, Tracy's a converted running back. He's a bigger dude, 5'11", 210. Very, very effective after contact last year. 4.44 yards after contact per attempt. He's a little bit older too. He'll turn 25 during the course of the season. But Ty Tracy is interesting. You know, Singletary figures to have the complete leg up in this offense. Like, they signed him for a reason. Joe Shane is the general manager. They had Singletary in Buffalo. So did Brian Daboll, right? He was there too. And I think Singletary can be just fine, but, you know, he's really just a hero RB, zero RB target. When I say that, I'm talking about running backs in a 12-team league, one quarterback who you're drafting between rounds 7 and 10. Like, I'll call them hero / zero RB targets. So that's where he's going. And I think that's fine if you drafted him as the third or fourth running back in your stable. I'm never going to say, oh, he's my RB3. He might have been the third guy I selected, but a lot of times, like, if I go that approach, especially if I go zero RB, the third running back I selected is starting for me a whole lot, you know, because there's not much difference between him and the second running back I drafted and so on. So he can be in that range. I don't hate it, but I also am not, you know, over the moon about it. Let's move over to the Jets. You might remember last year when Aaron Rodgers played four snaps before going down with an injury, Achilles, and he gone. He was out for the season. Well, now he will be 41 during the course of the season. Technically speaking, he hasn't turned 41 yet. and we really don't know what to expect. I can tell you this, the last time we saw him in 2022, he wasn't that bad. Now, he wasn't the MVP that he was in 2021, but he also didn't quite have the surrounding cast that he had in 2021. Remember, 2022, you had Christian Watson's rookie season, Romeo Doubs' rookie season. The team was getting very young. And Rodgers, of course, now he was knocked for this, and I think rightfully so, didn't participate in offseason activities. So he barely had time to develop any chemistry before the season started. And it eventually came towards the end of the year, but too little too late. Now, Rodgers is like the opposite of Daniel Jones when it comes to throwing to the end zone. 37 end zone throws in 17 games that season. In his MVP season in 2021, he threw the ball to the end zone 48 times. I love that number. That's three per game, baby. Three per game. You can hear the smile on my face. You can just hear it. I love that. Now, will he do that here? Well, I don't think the Tiger can change his stripes. So, yeah, I do think he will do that here. And he has a very nice surrounding cast. He has Garrett Wilson. They brought Mike Williams in, who's coming back from ACL, but he's an interesting name. They drafted Malachi Corley, who, man, he could be an interesting slot receiver at the pro level. He was almost exclusively a slot receiver at the college level. So he's in the mix here. They have Tyler Conklin, you know, a little bit of a catch and fall down tight end, didn't score any touchdowns last year. And I got to talk about the hype on him in a minute here. But the point being, a lot of pass catchers, not to mention you have one of the best pass catching backs in the NFL in Breece Hall. It's a great setup for Rodgers. Rodgers could potentially be a late round one quarterback option. He's also a really sneaky super flex option. If you're willing to wait, you want to play a little bit of chicken, you can get Rodgers cheap. Quarterback 19, quarterback 20, somewhere in that range. I'm ranking him quarterback 20 right now. There's nothing wrong with that because of the surrounding cast. He just has to stay healthy. Garrett Wilson is really stinking good. He has put up back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Last year, he had 95 catches. He had 83 in his rookie year. Doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, but I think that Rodgers could remedy that. But he has done all that with pretty much a steaming pile of dog doo-doo at quarterback over the last 2 years. Garrett Wilson is really good. I'm at wide receiver 8, which means he could slide to the second round. It all depends on how many running backs, obviously, drafted in the first round in your one quarterback leagues. He could be a turn guy. I don't mind having like Wilson do a little, as the kids say, double tap on the turn. You know, you grab Wilson and, I don't know, Puka Nacua if he's there. If he's not there, it's like Wilson and maybe like Olave or Marvin Harrison Jr. or Devontae Adams. Like, it could be any of those guys based on what your board looks like. But a little double tap action there. I love that. You know, and I don't mind picking on the swing at all. Like, if I'm in the one spot or the 12 spot, I don't mind that. Like, I would love to be in the one. Like, that's my preferred spot. But people are always like, oh, that wait is so long. Yeah, but you and the guy on the other side of the draft are the only two people who get to pick back to back. And that's like a really big advantage, especially when you're at one. But, and I'm not saying 12 is the second best. My order for draft slots is one. And if I can't get one, I want two. And if I can't get two, I want three, and so on. 12 is the worst spot for me, but I do like having that ability to make back-to-back picks. So that's the consolation of having the 12. Anyway, and I don't care about a weight. Who cares about a weight? That's what that's what food and beer is for, right? Although I drink non-alcoholics, but what do I care? So back over this. He's awesome. But what about the rest of these guys? Like, is there value in Mike Williams? He's not going to be a priority for me. I could see Mike Williams being this sort of jump ball artist. You know, he can definitely play above the rim. He could be a red zone asset for Rodgers. But coming back from that injury is a little concerning. He's also 30 years old this season, so he's no spring chicken. So I think this is better for Rodgers than the other way around. I have Williams at wide receiver 50, but he's one of those guys in the late rounds that I would not be targeting. I don't have him on my board. Otherwise, I don't think Corley's more of a dynasty option. So let me get over to Tyler Conklin. So on my radio show on Sirius XM, if you don't listen to it, it's called the Jeff Ratcliffe Show. I did not name that. People are like, oh, he's so full of himself. Guys, I didn't name it. I was honored that they wanted to call it that, but I didn't name it. Anyway, it's 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87. And I've been getting a lot of questions about Tyler Conklin. And I know one of two things happens when I get a lot of questions about a player. Either A, Roto World just wrote a blurb about him, and that's not the case here because this has been continual. Or B, somebody in the fantasy industry is hyping up a guy. It's always one of those two things. You know, I can get a random question about a random player once, but if it happens over and over, it's always one of those two things. I think there are some folks out there who are hyping up Tyler Conklin, but I think they're hyping him up for best ball, not hyping him up for redraft. And those are two different conversations. And I think it's really important as a listener or like a consumer of any content, whether you're watching, listening, or reading, to be aware of the position of whoever's creating the content. Like if they're talking about best ball and then you're using that information for redraft, you're misusing the information, right? It's not meant for redraft. Like Tyler Conklin may not get drafted in a 12-team league because he's far enough down. And he's far enough down there for a reason. He doesn't have a high ceiling. And a floor, eh. Like the last 3 years, he's played in all 17 games. He has had 87 targets in all three seasons. He went 61, 58, and 61. Like, he's remarkably consistent. Three touchdowns, zero touchdowns. Like, there's no ceiling here with Tyler Conklin. So he's not a guy who I'm targeting in the late rounds. If I happen to not get one of my wheelhouse tight ends and I have to draft one in the late rounds, which I don't like when that happens, but I'll be honest, it does happen at times. Conklin is not somebody I'm looking at. Now, am I drafting him in best ball? Sure. If I have a Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers stacked, yeah, I'm going to get Conklin on that squad. Of course I am. But that's best ball. It's not redraft. All right, let's move over to Breece, baby. Hey, if you want Breece, you're going to have to be in the first half of the first round. It is plain and simple. There's, you know, no two ways about it. He's really stinking good. And it's not a secret. This is not a post-hype sleeper situation or anything along those lines. You're going to have to draft Breece early. I have him at RB3, but I've had him at RB2 at times. It's back and forth between him and Bijan. They're going in, you know, the first six picks roughly. So if you're not there, then you don't consider him. Now, if I'm up, let's say I have him at six and the first five guys are off my board, then I'm going to take him. I'm going to anchor with him and then we'll take it from there. If he's there, but let's say for sake of argument, for some reason, Jamar Chase slips. I don't know why he does, but it could happen, right? I'm taking Jamar Chase because he's the highest guy on my board. He's ahead of Breece Hall. So you got to be aware of that. That's how I approach things. I don't want to have to make a lot of decisions on draft day. I want really all the thinking to have been done before draft day. And then the decisions kind of make themselves based on what happens before. And so I'm going to follow that in the beginning of drafts. But he's awesome. I mean, he's so much fun. He's got this big play, massive big play upside. He has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, like among the best in the league at running back with that 76 catches last year. He's just awesome. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him. Now, if you draft him and you want to handcuff him, and I'm saying, like, you don't have to handcuff anybody. Like, there's no written rule of fantasy football that says thou shalt handcuff their first round running back, but it's usually a good idea because you're investing heavily in that player. You don't have any pick that's more valuable than your first round pick. Just by value alone, it is the most valuable. So you want to maybe insure that asset. I'm going with Braylon Allen, the rookie who is, oh, dude, this guy is a unit. Have you seen Braylon Allen? This guy is he's a unit. 6'1", 235, like carved out of marble. This dude is something else, and he is very productive, coming off a very productive college career, and he's also impressing in camp. Like, he's not going to challenge Breece, but he blew right by everybody else on the depth chart. So Braylon Allen would be the guy who I'd be going after for handcuffing sake if you are somebody who likes to handcuff. I always say, if you're going to handcuff, though, like, if I drafted Breece and then I cuffed him with Braylon Allen, a lot of people will come out of their draft feeling like really great. Like, hey, I handcuffed. Like, let's drink a beer. And then 3 weeks later, when they need to drop somebody, you know who they drop? They drop the stinking handcuff, man. Why even bother? So if I handcuff, as far as I'm concerned, Braylon Allen doesn't exist to me anymore. Like, he is just Breece Hall. And as long as I have Breece Hall, and as long as it's clear that Allen is the handcuff, then Allen is on my roster. So that's also a consideration that you need to make. Do you have enough bench spots to do that? Do you have the staying power, the commitment level to do that? All right, let's get over to emails here. You guys have been busy yet again. The rantpodjr at gmail.com. Devin is checking in saying, longtime listener and reader. And I appreciate that. He's got a keeper deadline rapidly approaching. So here's what he has. It's an 8-team league. I can tell you right now, your roster is way, your starting rosters are way too thin for an 8-team league. Here's the setup. One quarterback, three wide out, two running back, tight end, kicker, and three IDP. Across every single one of your positions, I can guarantee that you are loaded on waivers every single week, which means that like rando teams who suck at drafting can compete in this league. Even though they're not good at fantasy football, they will compete in your league. The fewer starting spots you have, like the more players on waivers you have, the more luck your league is going to be based on. That's not the question he's asking, though. So said they can keep three players from the previous year, only one per position. So this one is really easy. What you're going to do is you're going to take my overall rankings. And you're going, because it gives me the whole list. And honestly, like, I'm not here, and I'm just going to piss some people off, and that's fine. Just unsubscribe to the podcast. You know, I can't really do anything about that. But I'm not here to run people's teams, right? And unfortunately, people in the fantasy space have been programmed, like, ask a fantasy analyst, get an answer, use the answer literally, and if the answer doesn't work out, blame the fantasy analyst. I'm here to help you become a better player of the game. So here's how I make a keeper decision when it comes to this type of situation. I'm going to go to my rankings. It looks like there are no penalties here. Go to my rankings, and I'm going to keep the three highest guys, obviously, across three positions here. And that's it. It's really that simple. I'm not going to overthink this whatsoever. But to make this league more competitive, I would add another starting quarterback spot, a super flex spot. So yes, you could start three quarterbacks. I would add an additional starting wide receiver spot, an additional starting running back spot, keep tight end the same, get rid of kicker, although you could keep it if you really want, and then add an additional flex spot as well, and probably toss IDP, because honestly, three IDP is not enough. It's like your waivers are going to be loaded every week. So anyway, that's my two cents there, Devin. All right, moving on. Joel checking in. Superflex Dynasty Startup. It's going to be the same question. Yeah, I actually addressed this question earlier in the week. So I have an article over at ftnfantasy.com. You can find it. Just Google 5 Dynasty Tips, Jeff Ratcliffe, and you'll find the article. And I tell you exactly how I draft quarterbacks in a Superflex, but I also just did it on the podcast the other day. So if you missed that one, I think that was Tuesday's podcast, but go back and give it a listen. Bryce, Dynasty Startup. You guys are missing out on Dynasty Startup season, by the way. I love a nice March, late March startup, because you do a startup in March and it spills into April if you do a slow draft. Then you get to do your rookie draft in May. So like double the draft. I mean, come on. Drafting is the best thing. Anyway, you said big fan of the work. Appreciate it. You guys are, I mean, it's humbling, man, to read these emails. So thank you. Thank you very much. So he's getting into his first Dynasty League this year. Oh, that's awesome. And it'll be his first league with Superflex. This is not actually a Superflex question, though. He said, curious how you balance rookie versus veteran players. So I don't balance rookie versus veteran players necessarily. I am always focused on just age in general. So I actually broke this down in that 5 Dynasty tips. I'm telling you, like, I basically gave away pretty much my entire dynasty strategy. It's not that complex, though, and it's not a bad thing. So in the article, I say my first tip is draft for value, focus on age. And I do have an age criteria for players in a startup draft. So running backs no older than 25 years old. Yep, 25 years old. Wide receiver no older than 27, 29 at tight end, and 32 at quarterback. Everything else, that's it. So for example, like, I'm not drafting Aaron Rodgers, obviously, in a dynasty league because he's going to be too old. So, you know, again, search that out. I think you guys will really benefit from that article. Adam has a question about running back tiers. It looks like he said he's loving the rant. Yeah, appreciate you, man. Quick question about running back tiers. He said, I like how you have each tier separated into subcategories, guys with upside, guys with high floor, blah, blah, blah. He said, can I do a segment on the pod explaining how I pick between those guys during a draft? Is it based solely on rankings, taking the highest guy, or does it vary based on the composition of the team? Well, so that really is going to depend on where I am in drafts. So, for example, if we are in the running back dead zone period of the draft, I'm not looking at running back, and I'm really primarily looking at wide receiver, although obviously I will, as we get into like the fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, well, the seventh round we get out of the dead zone, but fifth and sixth rounds I'll be looking at tight end. I may not draft a tight end there. We'll see. But I have my draft board subdivided into high ceiling and high floor wide receivers. My draft board's at ftmfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I'm just taking the highest guy on the board. I don't care about high floor, high ceiling there when we're in like round four. So for example, Devontae Smith and Stephon Diggs are almost side by side, but Diggs is a high floor. Smith is a high ceiling, but I have Diggs ahead. He's higher on my board, so therefore I would keep him. Where it really starts to matter is when we get into the late round. And what I really do, and I don't use my tiers here, I use the draft board, is I have players that I'm going to avoid and players that I'm going to target. For example, at running back, a player who I am avoiding is Rico Dowdle. He is going in the same range as Tyler Algier, and I actually don't mind the idea of Tyler Algier. Rico Dowdle is just too volatile for me, and he's just not a player I'm interested in. So if given the choice, I'm not even going to look at the avoid in Rico Dowdle. I'm just going to take the guy who I'm targeting in Algier. Avoid means avoid, which means I will not be drafting those players. Like, I don't care. I'm not drafting Rico Dowdle. I don't care. I'm not. I'm just not going to do it. I have far more wide receivers who I'm not going to target, a lot of tight ends who I don't target late as well. And that's actually how I use it, as opposed to it's not. I subdivide players in tiers simply for the reason of showing you guys that these guys aren't all the same type of player. They have different profiles. Some of them come with question marks. Some of them come with higher ceilings. Some of them are pass catching backs. Some of them are early down backs and so on. So that's really the point of it all, the method to the madness. There is a method. Blake is checking in, and he said he's been following since the PFF days. Appreciate that. That was a long time ago at this point. He said the one thing he's always liked is the concept of a draft board. He said it helped him significantly in his drafting approach and has paid off only having to focus on one sheet of paper. Yeah, it's huge for me. I don't want a lot on draft day. I just want that one sheet of paper. So his question is, he said, I've been in some 10-team leagues for several years now and would like to know your thoughts on adjusting a 12-team draft board to 10-team. Mainly has to do with the different pockets of the draft. Okay, so I think this is some confusion. The draft board is the draft board. It is not meant for a 12-teamer, although I do play in a lot of 12-teamers. I go to 10-team leagues and use the same draft board. Like, it doesn't change. And I think that's maybe some confusion here. I will use that same board regardless of the size. Now, sometimes the league will require an adjustment in strategy. Like, I'm not going to adjust my running back dead zone period from 12 to 10. It's still, you know, up until the seventh round, then seventh round, all right, game on. But I may adjust my quarterback approach in a 10-team league. So in a 10-team league, I'm much more inclined to basically wait until the very end of the draft and take two quarterbacks, one safe, one upside. 12-teamer, they're going to come a little bit earlier, but not much earlier. If it's a 16-team league, then I'm definitely looking for a middle round. So like a top 12 guy who I get in the middle rounds. And for me, the middle rounds are basically 6 to 10. I might do that in 14-teamers, but sometimes I feel like I can wait until about round 10 in 14-teamers and still get a quality option. Not always. But, you know, I don't want to say a specific round because that would be misleading you. Each draft is going to be unique. Each draft is going to have its own individual characteristics that you have to adjust to in the draft. So it's not the board that gets adjusted. It's the strategies. And I think that gets lost on so many people out there. People think that there's some kind of magical ranking sheet or draft board or tiers list that will guide them to the perfect roster, perfect draft. And that is just not true. Like, if I handed you a map and I'm like, yo, here's how you get somewhere. Like, you can't use Google Maps, you can't use Waze or any of those things, right? Here's the map. If you didn't know how to use the map is freaking worthless, right? It's not about the draft board. It's not about the ranking sheet. If you don't know how to use it, the my draft board is worthless if you don't know how to use it. And knowing how to use it is applying the strategies. So I actually have the roadmap over at ftnfantasy.com, very appropriately named, and it breaks down my strategies. And each year I revise it a little bit because every year strategies are going to slightly adjust. But generally speaking, like, it's not a dramatic departure from last year. And I talk about how to adjust in different team sizes there. But the draft board doesn't need to be adjusted. That's the beauty to it. I do not adjust it because it's not going to change in terms of sequencing. And really, it's not about the sequencing itself. It's more about knowing the strategies and where slash when to use the strategies. So I would strongly suggest reading that roadmap article if you haven't already. One more real quick one here. Steven said, where can I find your pick'em picks for NFL matchups preseason, in season? I'm not doing it preseason, so nowhere. But he said, yeah, so where do you find them? So I do a contest every year. It's over at NFLPickWatch.com, and I've done pretty well in it over the years. I won it once. They're just straight up picks, so money line picks. They're not against the spread. People get that twisted every year. Not against the spread, just straight up money line picks. All right, keep hitting me up on email here. I'm still backlogged here, but I'll keep getting through them. TheRantPodJR@gmail.com. All right, let's do a voicemail.
Hey, Jeff. My league is pulling for to do a waiver date. What's the preferred waiver date for infer fab? And I was seeing what your preferred date was and time of the week. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Yeah, definitely got you there. No doubt. So I really think waivers should run on Tuesday evenings. And there's a rebuttal that a lot of people have. It's like, well, what about practice reports? We aren't getting told anything on a Wednesday practice report. Like, we're not. The only practice report that really matters is Friday. So we can't wait until Friday evening to do waivers. So that argument, I mean, it's not a strong argument whatsoever. Do it on Tuesday night. You know, Monday Night Football is done. Tuesday is the start of the week. Then you can roll into Wednesday, because obviously on Thursday you have to start considering who's in your lineup if you have anybody in the Thursday night game. I also really strongly prefer one fab run. So an initial fab run to start the week. Anybody who isn't claimed in fab, and fab is auction bidding style waivers, if you're not familiar. Anybody who isn't claimed goes to first come, first served. That's it. Now, if I drop the guy in the middle of the week, say I drop a guy on Wednesday, I drop Rico Dowdle, right? I didn't draft him, but I dropped him. Then he would be subject to a fab run. So I've dropped him on Wednesday. He would go to fab. It would process, you know, in the middle of the night on Wednesday. And then if he cleared on Thursday, he'd be first come, first served. Some websites don't let you do that. Like CBS, unfortunately, you have to do a darn fab run all the time, and it's annoying. But that's my preferred. Sleeper lets you do it that way. ESPN lets you do it that way, et cetera. That's a good question. All right, I got one more voicemail.
Hey, Jeff. Jeff from Alabama here. So my biggest question is, because of success, most people are very hesitant to trade with me, despite there being some consistency with a noticeable fair trade. How do you get out of that perception of you looking like you're fleecing someone versus?
And right here, his voicemail cut off. So I think I know what he's getting at here, though. And I think I want to address the first thing. And this is not something that we're going to be able to convince a lot of people of, especially in our home leagues. But there really is no such thing as a fair trade. And guess what? Fantasy trades don't have to be fair. Fantasy football doesn't have to be fair. In fact, inherently, it's not a fair game, and that's okay. It's all right. But you're encountering something here where a lot of people don't want to trade with you because, you know, it sounds like you probably pulled off some decent trades in the past. So good for you there. But you can, there's an old saying, like, you can shear a sheep 1,000 times, but you can only skin it once. And it sounds like you skinned the sheep in that league. And once you do that, you can't put the skin back on, man. It's unfortunate, but you just, like, this is just something to be conscious of when making trades. If you're really going to go out and fleece somebody, I've seen this in some leagues where, you know, you have maybe a couple bad players, and then, you know, you can see the sharks circling, and they go after, and they try and make these crazy trades with them. And every so often they pull it off. Well, that is going to rub some people the wrong way. So the only thing you kind of can do here is hopefully that let time heal those wounds. But you don't really need to trade to win in fantasy football. Honestly, you don't. Trading can be a nice weapon in your arsenal. It can help make your team better, but it's not a necessity to win. So battling that perception, it's going to be hard. It's an uphill battle. But also, going forward in the future, always keep that in mind, that if you are pulling off those types of deals, there are going to be a lot of people in your league who will not want to deal with you any longer. So good question, Jeff from Alabama. Appreciate you checking in. Hey, if you want to check in as well, the phone number is 215-720-1708. And apparently you can text it too, because it looks like somebody hit me up here and he said, which one of the incoming rookie class wide receivers am I expecting to be most relevant this year after the top two of Harrison and Neighbors? I mean, it's Adunze after that, then probably Ladd McConkey. But yeah, those two are kind of way ahead of everybody else. I wish Adunze wasn't in a spot where you have two really established high volume targets. He's still going to be fine, but think of like Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf on the field, and that's kind of what I'm expecting. But yeah, he'd be next. Him and McConkey are up there for sure. All right, that's going to wrap up for today. I'll be back tomorrow, one more pod for the week. Like I said, we're going to get into Philly. So we just did New York. Let's do Pennsylvania, baby. We'll do Philly and Pittsburgh. In the meantime, at Jeff Rackliff on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff on Instagram, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. And if you want one of those draft boards, man, I'm telling you, they're pretty dope. fjfantasy.com, promo code RATCLIFF, RATCLIFFE, for 10% off. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff, and I'm out. We'll be right back.